Hello, and thanks for listening to this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more resources and to get connected, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.
Hallelujah. Well, we are going to minister some vision, and then we're going to have Mark Tubbs come up, and he is going to bring a word as well. So, Deb, why don't you come up and join me, and if I could get that table, and we can go ahead and close the doors. This is a time where I really want to just acknowledge how much we have been blessed by you this past weekend. Your ministry to us has been amazing. It truly has been incredible, and we have been so blessed. I'll tell you what, I went home yesterday. Yesterday was hard for me. It was, oh wow, look, Ruby's there, along with the rest of the family. All right, so good to have you here. So, you know, I went home yesterday after yesterday's breakfast and all that went on and just the blessings that we received from you. And it was like, oh, I slept for 2 hours. I was just rocked. I really was. It's like it really was such an impartation of blessing. And I was so strengthened and encouraged by that. So thank you for that. Do you have a microphone, Deborah? Do we have another? That'd be great. Oh, there it is. Good. Good, good, good. So I just want to spend a little bit of time just expressing, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about vision. And Deborah will have more to say about that than I will right now. There are two things. What? Why are you shaking your head? We've crafted it that way, actually. I just feel like the Lord is really calling us into this season where we really are in a time that is just so extraordinary. You know, we've seen it, as many of us have, we've seen it as troubling times, we've seen it as difficult times. But it's in this context that God is doing something with his church that is extraordinary. Yeah. It's exquisite. And it's producing an outcome in our lives that we are only going to just look back on in the days to come and say, what God has done is so amazing. Yeah. I was sitting listening to Debbie Healy last night, and she was talking about the Hasid of God. And in doing that, she said, we've only touched the surface. I'm telling you, there's so much more that the Lord wants to do in building us up in our most holy faith. Why is the faith holy? Because we're people who walk with Holy Spirit with such intimacy that our lives are transformed. Our lives are transformed into a love that is tangible. It's a love that people will feel. It's a love that will cause people to be shifted from where they are. And so it is extraordinary, the love that the Lord really wants to release through you and I. And he's going to do that in ways that are going to cause the church to look a lot different. We've been saying for some time that we are going to look a lot different. I jokingly was thinking, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to give you a 10-year plan of how we're going to get to thousands of people. We're going to build a new building, and we're going to have all kinds of programs that will enable people to receive individually and in families what they need. And what I want to tell you is those days are changing. Those days are changing. And that's not what God is doing. God is building his house but it is a supernatural house. It's not that it won't have an outworking in the world, but it won't look like it did. Yeah. Religion wants to hang on to the way things have always been done. But God is shifting it. And he's doing that, and he's doing that with us because you have said yes. You have been those who have said, I'm not interested in the way it's been. We want to follow the Lord, and we want to be on the cusp of what he is doing. And so I just want to say, I really feel like there's a couple of things that the Lord is really fashioning us as his people to be and to do in these days. Number one, I do believe there is going to be a righteousness that will come forth from God's people that will be genuine. It will be authentic. It will not be holier than thou, but it will be inviting. It will cause people to say, there are people who love one another. They are a people who love deeply. And you know, I was just thinking about how we interact with people. I was thinking about love, and I was thinking about, as Debbie was speaking last night, and I was thinking about, you know, gosh, my reaction sometimes when I'm driving and I have someone misbehaving, and my attitude that I start to interact with in my heart, and it's like I'm like Doug, and I'm going, dude, there's something wrong with you. You need to get your heart right, and it's like... yeah, that's a real thing. It's like we have to get to a place where we really are willing to recognize, you know, that person that just did that, that was a demon. That wasn't a person. The person was being influenced by a demon. I don't know about you, but I've been influenced by demons when I've been driving before, so I'll be honest with you. So we're all coming to a higher level. But, you know, we're going to be a people. Watch it. We're going to be a people who will learn, for example, in the very practical application of when, you know, somebody just cuts you off, you go, that's not who you are. It's true. It's true. And we're going to be the ones who say, that's not who you are. I know who you are. I see with the eyes of Jesus, and I see who God has fashioned you to be. And we're going to call people up into their destiny. And we're going to call them up into knowing the Lord, because there are people who are going to say, come to us, and they say, I want what you have. And that it's so true. So there's a righteousness that the Lord is going to be releasing with us. I was really fascinated in just reading 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. Those are books that are real short. There's only one chapter in each of them. You can get through that pretty quick. But in reading that, in 2 John, verse 4, it says, John is the apostle is speaking to a church. He's actually addressing to the lady chosen by God in verse 1 and to her children, but it's believed that he was really addressing a church. And it says in verse 4, it says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And, you know, the reality was there was a lot going on in the early church. There were those who were wanting to promote legalism, that you had to follow the law, and that religious structure that God had already dealt with, that's the reason that Jesus came, right? Was that the law was no longer the way into righteousness. It was in relationship with Jesus that we would come into a place of of relationship and knowing Him. And so the place of coming into the truth is relational.
Yes. Amen.
But it is nonetheless based upon the foundations of the teachings of Scripture. And so he was saying that you've given me great joy because some of your children are walking in the truth. Some have gone into, you know, towards legalism. Some have gone towards the other side of the road, the other ditch, and that is a permissiveness that says that sin doesn't really matter. You can still live an ungodly life, and the Lord, you know, we're still good with the Lord. And what basically he's saying there is that that is such a deception. You cannot live the life that God has positioned us to live in sin and experience the blessings of the life that God has for us. And so the life that we have is received as we walk in our communion with Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And so some of the church in this era are walking in the truth, and the truth that is revealed in the love of Jesus Christ. And so we are being called into the truth that makes us a people who are obedient to Jesus Christ. And so we demonstrate then a righteousness that is going to be greater than what has been in the past. And it's not again, being holier than thou. Holiness has a lot of baggage attached to it that is religious. The Apostle Paul said, I don't even judge myself when it comes to walking with the Lord. I wait for the Lord to convict me, and he can do that. I'm just going to walk with the Lord with a sincerity of heart to live out my life in the righteousness that he has given to me. And so we live out that most holy faith as we are communing with Holy Spirit. And we're learning to do that more and more and release that. So we're coming into a time of greater righteousness, and I believe that we're coming into a time of greater hope, a hope that is based in what God is building, not in things that we have really clung to in the past. And so there's a shift that is taking place in our hearts. It's not that God doesn't want you to live a life in this world that is blessed. He wants you to live a life that is blessed. But it is a life that is blessed through the knowledge and experiencing his love that will enable us to walk in new levels of hope, new levels of expectation. Some of us have lost a measure of hope, and God wants to reignite hope in you. So I just want to bless you. I want to thank you for being people who say yes to Jesus, and I want to go forward in everything that God has for us. So the Lord is building his house, and Deborah, you have some things that you want to share.
I'll
shift with you. I'll sit,
okay.
And you can stand.
Okay. I think it's very prophetic that Eric and Drew are sitting together on the front. We've got twins that are sitting together, so if you think you're seeing double, you are. But I just think that there is a multiplication that God wants us to get into our heart, that he is doing something new. And we've come through a season of lack. We've come through a season of isolation. And so I really believe, Randy, what you're speaking about, hope. I know in my own life in February, I was in a place of discouragement and hopelessness according to some health issues I was having, and I almost was giving up. And when I finally went to a doctor who was able to hear me, I asked the question, can you fix me? And he said, yes, I can. And isn't that really what we're looking for, even with a great physician?
Yeah.
We're looking for someone who will say, they'll come alongside of us and give us hope. And so I do believe we're in that place. And the world wants to stay in a place of discouragement. It wants to stay in a place of negativity. And the kingdom of God militates against that. It opposes that. So in love, but if you're feeling the pressure of that, social media is a poor trade-off for connection.
Yes.
It is. I mean, we have used it in our isolation. We used it during COVID. Some of us have used it for relatives who live afar. But the fact of the matter is it removes us from being face-to-face with one another. And there's something even psychologically that you get when you're in person's presence and you're reading their face and you're hearing their voice. And so I just feel like for myself, I'm moving away from that platform. I'm moving away and I'm really pursuing relationship. And, you know, I'm a texter, but honestly, I'm trying to call more people because I need to hear their voice. But I want to take just a few minutes. And I want to do something as far as just activating you right now. I want you to think about a dream house. I want you to think about if you were to build your dream house, what would it look like? And I'd like for you to close your eyes. We're going to activate your imagination right now. Think about what color it would be. Think about what style it would be. Think about the door, how the rooms would be laid out, if it had a deck, if it had a lanai, if you're living in the South, if it had the ability to be multi-storied or maybe just one story. Everybody has an idea of what that dream house might look like. So now I want you to understand that in God's heart and his imagination, he considered what his dream house would look like. And as I look around the room, you are the resource of that dream house. When I was a young child and I had the opportunity to fly on an airplane by myself to New York and go to the World's Fair with my aunt and uncle. And that was a big deal. You know, when you used to fly before, people would get like dressed up with hats and gloves and matching coats. And I mean, it was like a big deal. And so I remember just being so excited to have the opportunity to do that. But to go to the World's Fair, and the Time magazine referred to that World's Fair as the world of tomorrow. And there was a exhibit there, the Westinghouse House of Dreams. And you can look it up on YouTube. And it was like the cutting edge of all the things that were just like so off the charts, innovative. For Mica. Maintenance-free vinyl siding. Laminate. All of those things were cutting edge, and you could see the faces, particularly of these women, going, oh my gosh, this is going to make cleaning so easy. But now, we would consider those things to be substandard. Right. Those wouldn't even be considered builder grade.
Right.
And so there is an innovation in the imagination that wants us to continue to keep pressing forward, to keep dreaming, to keep being hopeful, to not be stagnant, to not be static, to not be complacent and accept where we're at, but to continue to move forward in the innovation. Our God is a creative God.
Yeah.
And he is always dreaming of things, and he's wanting us to dream of greater things. But the building process has to start first in the imagination. We built a home in Milford, and we bought this property. It was on a lake, and we had always wanted to live on a lake. And for years and years and years and years and years, we went and looked at all kinds of houses and properties. Nothing ever seemed right. So we ended up buying this property. We're like, we're going to build our dream house. Then we looked at one another and went, what does that look like? Because we had deferred that dream. We had the property. Now we had to figure out what we were going to put on it. But the thing that I learned in that process, it wasn't just the house. It was the positioning of the house. Where were we going to be able to view the sunset in the best place? Where were we not going to block our neighbor's view of the sunset? What was the best grade for where we were going to put the house? And then, you know, we had to dig the basement, we had to pour it, that had to cure. All of those things took time before we had ever start putting framing up. So it just looked like a big cement hole for a while. And it's like, this is my dream house? But that's really the process that God has us in right now. I think we look around and we go, is this what God's house looks like? When a baby was put in a basket and sent down the river, did he look like the liberator of Israel? When a woman was placed in a harem and was brought before the king and ultimately freed her people, did that look like what she had envisioned her life to? And when a young man who was favored by his father was put into a hole and sold into slavery, did he realize that he was going to be the second in command of a nation that would feed those that were in a famine, and in particular his family? We don't always realize how things will turn out. That basement didn't speak to what that finalized house would look like. And so sometimes people will say to us, I want to hear your vision. I want to hear what you're doing. It's a process. And after going through this last year and a half, it probably looks a little bit different than it did 2 years ago. To be truthful, the last year and a half is probably one of the hardest years to do ministry in. Because of the sense of hopelessness and fear that had been released into the atmosphere. But God is a God who is arising in this hour, and he's breathing hope into his people. And he's bringing his living stones together to build his house. 1 Peter 2:5 says, we are those living stones. And every part is necessary in this hour. Yes. Don't tell me that you don't have a part to play. Don't tell me that, because I know that that's not true. That is an ungodly belief, and I'm going to send you right to Jenny. God has a plan, and you are part of the resource of that plan. And if you don't see yourself that way, then I pray that you go deep in your identity with God and find out, what am I to do? Yeah. What am I to be doing in this hour? Yeah. Because your part is very necessary. I love that Doug shared John 14, because I had it in my notes too. It's always so interesting how Holy Spirit does that. Yeah. But, you know, if you go back into John 13, you see where, you know, Jesus has had dinner with the disciples. He's washed their feet. He tells one of them that they're going to betray him. He gives them a new commandment. You're going to love one another. Then he starts out in John 14 with this: don't worry or surrender to your fear. That's a statement there. That'll preach right there. For you believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. And I loved how Doug had talked about the fact that, you know, it's about the fact that it's not God going to build this mansion. It's a gathering of God's homes together to make a dwelling place. And so every believer has a dwelling place. That's why you have a part to play. And so when we choose to gather together and see that our part is important, then we recognize that we are participating in the building of the Lord. It's not just a leadership position to do that. For everyone who claims to be a minister of Jesus Christ has a part to play in building the house of the Lord. When Jesus said that he was going, what was he talking about? He was going to the cross. He was going to die and to be resurrected so that he made a way in order for you to go. It wasn't just that he was going to, you know, come back and, you know, give you a ticket, but he was making a way through his resurrection, through that place of resurrection. Last night, Anne was playing, and she was playing about the anointing, and I heard that the Lord was anointing us for burial. What does that mean? We need to die to ourselves and let Christ live in us and through us. God is calling us to our identity. He's calling us to return to covenant roots. Some of us have gotten away from the covenant. He's calling us to that so that Holy Spirit might work in ways like he's never worked before through us. He wants that root in us that has bore fruit to bear even more fruit in this hour. Curses have been broken off in this last season of our lives individually and corporately in order to build a future, our dream house. It's not just about being prepared and getting things in order, although that's part of it, but it's really about building for sons and daughters to enter in. Yes. We have to have a generational vision with this that isn't just about us four and no more. It's about the generations that are come. I am so thankful that my daughter-in-law made the effort to get here with six kids this morning. That's my legacy there. This next season that we're entering into, the Hebrew year is 5782. And the Hebrew words for it is pay bet. Pay is the mouth. Bet is God's dwelling place. Everything that God has spoken in the past through the Son will become manifest in this season as we build God's dream house together. Let that sink in. God's already spoken it. Jesus is the one who has come to see it made manifest. We are the resource, but we are also the foreman. And there is opposition that is coming to that building. Have you faced some opposition to building in your life? Nehemiah did in chapter 6. Sanballat and Tobiah kept calling him out, come on, come on, come here, 6 times. He said, I can't, I'm building. We need that type of intention and focus as we're building. I can't come. I'm not going to be distracted. I've got a part to play. I've got resource to bring. I am going to stay focused and intentional. Here at FGC, these are the things that we know in this next era that we are being called to. We are being called to be ones to go deeper in our intimacy with the Father, His Spirit, and His Word. We are called to be an equipping and a regional training center. We are called to engage in equipping our people to be effective ministers in the marketplace. And Apostle Randy is leading the way. He has entered back into the marketplace. He never really left. But he's back in the business realm now. He serves in the educational mountain with the Board of Trustees. We serve city government. You can serve in several different mountains. But you have to be equipped to know how to act, how to talk, how to function within that mountain. Leave your Christianese behind. Jesus didn't talk in scriptures. He talked in parables. He talked in stories. He didn't refer to verses. You know, we have to learn how to engage people. We are called to minister to city officials, public servants, and government officials. We have a governmental mantle on this house. We are called, all of us, to share the good news and see lives transformed. And above all, we are called to love one another deeply and to build community and belonging so that people know that they have entered a family when they come in the doors of this house. The Father is our foundation. Jesus is the master builder. And we are partnering with him in this hour as his resource and his foreman, which is necessary for us to build the house of the Lord. Every part, as I said before, is needful and necessary. So, Papa Mark, would you come and share?
Amen to all that. I love watching you roar. I like it when you just roar your head off, you know, like a lioness or lion. And I would love to have you sick Jenny on me anytime. That would be a blessing. Well, you know, thank you so much. I have the privilege to talk about blessing today. And, you know, I started thinking about that. And I started thinking, you know, when did people lay hands on me and bless me? And I had a lot of memories, but I thought of Freedom Gateway. The first time I came here, I was in a huge transition. I had laid down pretty much, to tell you honestly, about a $100,000 package, a salary, to change my life, to go totally into relationship. And this church gave me the one of the largest gifts I've ever received. But not only that, you wanted at the end of that conference to surround me and Ann and just bless us. And we were joined at the hip from then on, you know? We have been family. And blessings like have different forms. When I was watching today, Apostle Deborah, you've been leading worship 31 years here. I mean, that's like, wow. And there were other just special blessings. Dan Reed today, during that tremble today, boom, boom. You know, I was like, man, I was feeling that. I was getting blessed. You really drew me into worship, you know. That's other ways we can get blessed. And Dwayne, very faithful back there. You know, blessings have many different forms. Sometimes they're spoken. But did you know that biblically, it starts after creation with curses? Because there was a fall of man. In fact, blessing doesn't even appear to Genesis 12, really. In Genesis 3 and 4 and 5 and 7, it's talking about curses because of the fall. And the list is terrible. If you go in Scripture and you look at the contrast in Deuteronomy where it talks about blessing and curses, if you're obedient, there are 14 blessings. But if you're disobedient, there's 38 curses. Your land would be cursed. Your fields would be cursed. Your city would be cursed. Everything you put your hand to would be cursed. I'm not trying to be a bummer here. We're going to get to the good stuff, okay? But I want you to realize this is the Old Testament reality, the predicament that the fall brought. Because God had a plan, and he still has that plan of restoration and of love. But you have to understand that the power of sin came to steal from you. And as I said, the list goes on and on. It's staggering. And then suddenly, Everything changes. Listen how Hebrews 13 puts it. It's just amazing. Now. I'm like, come on now. God's good now. This is amazing. He's always been good. But now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, though so that he would be the great shepherd of the flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, may he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the Anointed One, who is to receive all glory forever. Amen. What it's saying is that whole curse structure is gone by the death of Jesus. It's gone. Every curse that was spoken, it's over. I mean, think about this. And he's saying it's through the death of Jesus, meaning you cannot add anything to the death of Jesus. I know all of us try. All of us still sometimes want to do, you know, our, you know, in our forms of repentance, we want to give a burnt offering. But you know what? It doesn't add to what Jesus did. And that's what the blessing, this apostolic blessing is that you've come into this eternal covenant that has broken everything that the enemy tried to do. And now it's time to come into the full measure of your blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, Bill, I've been hearing about your pizza. Where are you? Okay. What would it be? What would a customer do if they ordered a pizza and you only gave them half? Huh? They go crazy. I'm sure you wouldn't try that. You give them extra. Most of them. How many like to order a pizza and you get half? What? You know, okay. Come on. That was what Apostle Deborah was doing this morning and Randy. They're like saying, come on, get the full measure. Why are you satisfied with half?
Yeah.
God has more for you than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And here is an amazing thing that I marvel over is that in Psalm 133, the what people call the unity psalm, it says when we come like this into unity. Now, yesterday, that started with bacon. Okay, that's very unifying. All right. I've found very few people against bacon. And I'm sure there are a few vegans here, and that's we bless you, okay? Because that means a little more for us. But... But it came into this culmination of celebrating and blessing our apostles. And it was so rich and wonderful. And the unity brings increased presence of the Lord. And we were just in Brian Simmons' house, and he was telling us, you know, people don't understand. Individually, we experience presence, but when we come corporately, that's when glory comes.
Yes, 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 yes.
And that's what Psalm 133 is talking about. It's increased anointing, and then we get refreshed. And there in that place, God commands the blessing. I was here 5 weeks ago. For Chris's homecoming, where I saw one of the most courageous, beautiful acts by you, daughter of God. I was blessed. I was blessed by how you commanded a blessing. In the most difficult day. You see, that's what commanding blessing looks like. It's that the curse is broken. And when we make a declaration into the heavens and into the earth, there's an authority that comes out of you. God doesn't want us just to be anointed. Our anointing isn't so that we can walk around and do great things. Our anointing is so that we can show the world who he is. He's the one that sent his son. He's the one who never gave up on us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, let's walk in it. It's the get over it anointing. It's the fullness anointing. You've got more, and God has it. You know, I was thinking about the dwelling you were talking about, and I have a very practical story of commanding the blessing. Our daughter got married very young, and her husband of, what was it, 2 years? 3 years, said, you know what, I was too young. I wasn't ready to be married. I still love you. I still like you, but I'm just not ready to be committed. And he left out the door. And my wife and I decided we got to go be buyer. We've got to move up to Portland. And the Lord put it on his heart and on our heart. And in fact, I think it was in Taiwan at the time when I heard it. And I came back to Ann and I said, Ann, I think we're supposed to move to be in Portland by our daughter. And she goes, oh, I know. I heard too. And she goes, we're supposed to be there. This was end of August, just right about now, early September. And she says, oh, yeah, and we're supposed to move there by Thanksgiving. So we flew up to Portland, looked for a house. And God told us specifically, I want you to look a mile around Hillsboro Airport. I've got something there for you. So we go, we can't find anything. Finally, we see the balloons and the flags, and we go in and see this beautiful townhouse goes up against trees, and we go, oh, let's buy that house. So we go into the office and say, we'd like to buy the house. And they said, I'm sorry, they're not for sale yet. And I'm going, what's up with the balloons? You know what I'm saying, you know? And they said, you can't buy them yet because they're in litigation over the HOA rules and all these things, and they're not going to be ready to January. Now, what's wrong with January? It's not before Thanksgiving. So I went to the Lord and I said, what am I supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And he said, I want you to command that you will sign on October 3rd. This was about September 3rd. I told our real estate agent, I'm showing you what command a blessing looks like. The Lord wanted us to be by our daughter. And wait till I tell you the crescendo that just happened in the last 3 months. This, by the way, was in 2012. So we sat there, and every day I could wake up and I'd say, you know, September 5th, command the blessing. We'll sign on October 3rd. I told my real estate agent, you know, she said to me, what's your backup plan? You know? They're not going to be available. I just called again. They're not going to be available to January. Lord, should we look for another house? No. Command the blessing. You will sign on October 3rd. Now, how many think on September 23rd, you've heard nothing, you're going crazy, right? And then all of a sudden, the Lord said, call the housing department of Oregon. And the lady the woman that answered the phone, I said, you know, there's a property we're looking at. She looked it up and said, yeah, I see it. It's going to be going through the process. And I said, who schedules that process? And she goes, I do. I said, do you think you could bump that up to, you know, way up, because we really would like to see that come through? And she goes, yeah, I can do that. I get a call on October 1st. You will sign on October 3rd. Yeah. You want to know something amazing? Preparing dwellings. My daughter got remarried to an amazing godly man. She moved from LA to be by us. Guess which house she moved into with her new husband? That house, 2 miles from where we live now. That was almost a 10-year process. You see, God's got some things prepared for you, but the roar that you saw in your daughter and son was saying, we need to roar together. We need to call on that blessing. By the way, it's not a greedy blessing. It's not, bless me, God, I like blessings. No, that's not, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the word that's breathed. from that mouth of the Lord. See, if you go back to that Hebrews blessing, it's saying here that you're in a new covenant. You're in an eternal covenant. You're in this engaging relationship now that's going to transform and renew your life now. It's not coming. It's a part, a dimension of it is coming, but the reality of it is now. And he's giving you, listen to this, it will give you all that you know you need to fulfill your destiny. And when you listen to the vision casting, it was that very thing. We know what we're supposed to look like, but now what we're supposed to do is to bring you into your full destiny. You know, people say, what's an apostolic church? An apostolic church, its core values, along with intimate worship and hearing God's voice, the core value, when we use this word apostolic, is we mean we want you to come into your full measure of Christ. And instead of building, just focusing on programs and buildings, you are what we're going to focus on. I don't want to take much more time because I want to go into this, and we have a special blessing tunnel, so to speak. And I want to spend some time blessing Randy and Deb too here in a moment. But what I want to say is that you are called to be the declarers of God's blessing. Did you know that you can curse yourself? You want to know one of the most dangerous times is when you wake up. The enemy wants to tell you how tired you are and how much you have to do and how much you've lost. C.S. Lewis calls it when I wake up, the roaring animals are right there waiting for me. The animals. So you start to declare, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, right? He's anointed me. He's filled me with his love. You're getting this bold roar that comes out of you. So, Randy and Deb, I want to transition, and I want to speak about you for a minute. First of all, when we look at this blessing in Hebrews, it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus. And we want to thank you and bless you because we've witnessed your sacrifice. You left that dream home, actually, to be here. You built it, but you left it. Why? To be at Freedom Gateway. For this dream home. You're the dream home. I want you to hear that. I'm not glorifying them. I'm letting you know that when you see this blessing in Hebrews, it's been expressed. See, if you go and read the text, it says you will express the goodness of God that he's working in you. So you've just demonstrated his great love as shepherds. Yesterday we heard testimonies of people saying how much you're there. Right? Letitia, is that how to pronounce it? Did I get it? Because I know there's a Letitia over here. I gotta get my Isis right, you know? Randy and Deborah, you have allowed God to work in you, to convict you, to train you, to form you. The word that Paul, the writer of Hebrews, or sometimes there's debates, but anyways, the writer says that he's going to perfect you. We see that also in 1 John. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're coming into greater likeness. And you're in the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to change you and bring you into greater maturity. You know how you can tell a mature believer compared to someone who I would consider immature? Is their ability to be convicted by the Holy Spirit quickly, and they humble themselves and they don't defend themselves, and they don't need to be right, and they don't need to be more important, and they don't need to be the best. Thank you for being those kind of leaders. You're apostolic. When I say that word, it means you're people who see the bigger picture, and that it's not about church. It's about the whole community, the local callings, the lanes God has provided for us. In many churches, if you're the church ministry is the most important. I don't believe that. I believe government ministry. I believe education. I believe business. I believe it's all important. I'm a loan officer. I don't even know if I have time or if I want to be one. But God told me to do it. And then I could be in the leaders in L.A., leaders who are some of the head, way up in Scientology. I'd have never been in their home if I wasn't a loan officer. You've got important lanes. Right, Bob? Your lanes are important. Your lane is important. You decided that you were going to be the bridge between the world and the church. And you were going to show people how to find freeway on-ramps to go high levels. You command a blessing. So I want you guys to come up here. I'm going to start off with you. And then I'm going to speak a blessing over the church. And then we're going to bless one another. Ann, would you come on up? Doug and Debbie, we're going to bless you. We didn't talk a lot about how this would look. I just said, Mark, here's your time. Do what you want to do. Just stick your hands out. 10 years, 31 years, whatever the time is, right? We want to bless you right now. I bless you as a papa, as an apostle. We bless you. But first, I want to bless you with the peace that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I command a peace in you that you've never known. One surpasses all understanding. Yeah. One that anoints your sleep. Yeah. I command a blessing on your sleep. So that you'll not be awake unless it's God awakening you for a visitation. Otherwise, like that, I pray you sleep like a rock, not a baby. They wake up every 3 hours and cry. I speak a blessing. Second, I bless you, first as sons and daughters, but as shepherds and apostles in the family of God, declaring that you will bring people within your realm into greater fullness and maturity. Yes. You will help bring them into the full full places. Third, we bless you with the equipping of the Holy Spirit. To do everything God has called you to do. I impart a sword of victory to you today. Yeah. I impart a sword, a breakthrough. Amen. In Jesus' name. You're getting weapon upgrades right now. To tear down strongholds. New, higher level strongholds that the Lord has been showing you. Fourth, we bless you with the ability to express all that is excellent and pleasing to God through your union with Jesus, the Anointed One. I could do many blessings, but the fifth blessing is upon your family. Yes. From the youngest to the oldest. To ones who call themselves family, not by your blood, but by the blood of Jesus. Your family is not just those, and though it includes those. It includes those who declare that you are my mama, you are my papa. Yes. And God has ordained it.
Right.
And I'm not confused. My eyes aren't on you first. They're on Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I saw. I saw the Lord blessing you, and I agree. I release a blessing of partners, comrades, depth of relationship, yoking of hearts that are unbreakable, that you can lean on, that you have interdependence in a greater way.
Did you want to speak more?
You guys have a blessing? Just the thing that I'm blessing you with is the understanding that sometimes you're both right. And that in that and you know what? It's the truth. And what happens is God is extending your tent pegs, your influence, and you have to come together with Him to see what that looks like, because being both right doesn't always seem like, well, no, it needs to be one or the other, but it's actually both and. And so this is a season of both and, where unity is going to be key in seeing how you extend out into the community, how you expand this family, how you expand one another, how you expand into the fullness of what God has for you as this family at Freedom Gateway Center and one another.
I bless you as strategists for transformation in this region. Clear revelation from the Lord. Angelic visitations.
I see the Lord thrusting you forward and out, that you're coming into this new season, and this new season is going to be a thrusting forward. And all that you've been planting and all the seeds that you have been sowing in these 10 years, as you're coming into a season of great harvest, but the harvest actually is about launching and thrusting you forward as a couple and as a community. And He's starting with the two of you, and it's been going on, but there is a greater dimension of a thrusting forward that you're going to step into very quickly, that's going to bring about an abundance of blessing. And so, Father, we declare the blessing of the thrust of the Lord to pursue the call of God and to move into the next season of your call and your purpose upon their lives and upon this community and this family. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, would you stand? I want to speak a blessing over you, and then we're going to go into a blessing tunnel. You might call it a fire tunnel, but every person that goes through, I'm going to hear the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to release a different blessing, exactly what I hear over you, and I'm sure the others will do that. But you know, I wanted to be faithful to Hebrews 13. If you read through it, the blessing I gave to you today was out of Hebrews 13. And I want you to go back to it, because it just reorients you back to Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, all right? He is our peace. There is no peace without Him. And He's our peace with the Father, and He's our peace with one another. And then all the rest is a flow. So are you ready for some apostolic blessing? Put out your hands. Put out your heart. I want to begin with one that I didn't have in my notes, but I want you to know, as we do this, every curse that the enemy has wanted to bring against your life, we cancel in the name of Jesus. And even today, when you're going through the blessing tunnel, you're allowed to bless yourself too and bless others and say, break. If the Lord brings something to mind, you break it. Because we want to see a cleansing stream of the Holy Spirit. First, number one, I bless you with the peace that comes through the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes. Paul said, I don't owe anything except Christ crucified. And that He rose again. I want to know the power of His resurrection. Secondly, bless you as sons and daughters of the living God. And you too may not have a formal title, but you are called to a fivefold function. And I bless you as sons and daughters of God who will minister to the hearts of people around you through those anointings that God gave you as a gift of life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I bless you that you will come into your full measure and maturity. Third, we bless you with the equipping of the Holy Spirit to do a deep work in you, that he who began a work will continue it to the day of Christ Jesus. We declare that you will come into full measure. Fourth, we bless you with the ability to express all that is excellent and pleasing to God through your union with Jesus and the Anointed One. Yes. And fifth, I bless your family. We bless your family, your spiritual family, but your natural family. And we say, blessings of God. I bless your land. I bless where you put your hand to toil. And I declare this is the season of breakthrough and fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Woohoo! Yeah. All right. Yeah, please.
I kept seeing the last 2 days that this body is going to be used to bring transformation for your Detroit region. It's like the game of Jenga where you pull out a key parts where the enemy has strongholds. So I bless you as carriers of light that causes the darkness to tremble and fall. I bless you with ability to ignite old revivals for new moves of God.
Yeah.
For confidence in going out and bringing unity of the body of Christ in Detroit region. For a transformation. I bless you as carriers of hope to dismantle the despair and the negative narration.
I'm going to do this right now because I have your attention. Once the fire tunnel happens, who knows what's going to happen. Wednesday night at Shiawassee Pavilion at 7 o'clock. Is it 7? We have the pavilion. If you want to bring food, Debbie and Doug are going to be with us. It's just a time of fellowship, being out in the park, enjoying one another. But I'm telling you that now because some of you may be on the floor or out the door. So now you've heard it from me.
When is it?
It's this Wednesday night. This Wednesday night at Shiawassee. So elders and spouses, if you want to come forward and help us with the fire tunnel, we can end the stream. We love you guys, and we're going to do a fire tunnel. We're done? Okay.
All right. Elders and spouses, I have a couple announcements. Yesterday, along with Ivan Roman, we prophesied that we would send these guys to our annual retreat in It's hard. We're going to be in Cabo, Mexico. But it's called Pastoral Travel, and it's really a blessing for them. They get to be with peers. They get to be with Brian Simmons. They get to be with Anna, and they get to be just loved on. Really, actually, there's training that happens there, worship. It's wonderful. If you'd like to sow into that trip, just go on. That's our gift to them on their anniversary, okay? And then last announcement, if I can say, not only Shirley, and Shirley, there's zero pressure. We just are getting excited about you. We want God's timing for you. But October 14th, we are going to Kenya, and I would just love to drop you off in a village with Shirley and have you heal the sick, cast out demons, love on them, because it's just such a precious thing to do together. So as we're going to do this, we're going to form the line, okay? And yeah, go ahead and line over there. Okay. Yeah, no, sure. We'll you can help orchestrate. I just want to say a couple things about an effective fire blessing tunnel. Number one, if you start to come under the Holy Spirit and start to fall or stop, we will help escort you through so that people can come behind. Now, you're welcome to fall. We'll just drag you out, okay? I've seen that with Heidi Baker or whatever. So we just want to drag you out, do whatever. So we'd like to keep it going. All right, because this is a blessing tunnel. Yeah, exactly.
So if you have a strong woman who can help escort women out that need to be dragged out, if you could help volunteer, and some strong guys, if you see somebody, you know, doing it, because otherwise it's just with people on the floor or going slow, it just doesn't work, okay? Number two, I want you to be a participant of commanding the blessing. You see, if we command a blessing, it's great. Okay, but remember, I had to walk through every day to October 3rd, even though it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. I had to be the one that contended. So if you hear something from the Lord or someone as they speak that blessing, grab it like a baton and run out of here and say, I'm going to run out every day and start declaring it over my life. Okay, because you are the one that carries that authority. How many of you hear yourself? Of course, it's a silly question. I did that on purpose. You know who you hear the most? Yeah. You. So today, hear what God is saying and bless you. All right, we're going to form the tunnel somehow, and then you start coming. Are you going to put on some rowdy music? Yeah. Tunnel music? And Joe, could you come up here and just dance like you were dancing, get us going? No, I'm kidding. I loved it. Okay. All right. Let's just get into the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come right now as we form a tunnel to bless your people in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us on this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more content and to stay connected with us, make sure to visit our social media pages at Freedom Gateway Center and freedomgatewaycenter.com. Have a blessed day.